Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bruins with a bounce-back win last night over Utah. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hartz, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. What do you think of that game, Andy?
Meh.
That's kind of meh, too.
Meh.
I'll tell you what, I was
You got a win, so that's...
A win's a win.
Yep.
A win's a win.
And your goalie was pretty good.
They needed that win.
Their goalie was pretty good.
Their goalie was good. The Bruins, through the first 5 minutes of the game, did not put a shot on net, and I was like, oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have we gotten worse? Was Monty the one thing keeping them, like, at this level?
That would have been awesome.
Like, right? Like, if they now they suddenly can't do anything. Now Monty's gone and they can't even get a shot on net. And I was like, okay, this has potential to be the worst thing ever. And then for the rest of the period, after those first 5 minutes, I feel like they had the puck in Utah's zone the entire rest of that first period, and they could not score a goal.
Mm.
I mean, they were just rattling shots. I think they had, like, 15 or 16 in that first, and that was all in the last... You know, however, 15 minutes of the period, and they could not buy one, and it seemed like it was just going to be more of the same. And they needed that win, sure, but that win kind of reminded me of the wins they had earlier in the year where it was like, all right, Monty's getting fired unless they win tonight, and then Marchand buries like an overtime game winner,
right.
And you're like, all right, he gets another day. Like, he'll survive one more day here.
And that's then they what lose the next like. Two games and, by a combined 8-2 or something.
Exactly. That's sort of what it felt like.
Now, was there a bump?
I don't think so.
I don't really think so either.
Maybe, you know what? If there was, it was a Corposalo bump, I think, more than it was Sacco.
Okay. Because they hate Swayman.
I don't know if they hate Swayman, but I
Do
think
they like Swayman.
They realize that he's not playing well. I think anybody, the brain can realize that. And they haven't played well in front of him. That's true, too. And I didn't think they played particularly great. They still had a ton of penalties. They still had trouble scoring goals. It's not like everything's fixed here. And those are the two biggest problems. Like, their goal scoring and their penalties are, in terms of, like, a new coach, I feel like that's something that you address right away. Like, all right, guys, enough with the penalties. Let's try and get more shots on that. Let's try and do more things like this. Utah is not a good team.
Neither nice
are you, Boston
like
Bruins.
Blue. I like that blue.
I think it's Corposalo's net now until Swayman gets his head out of his ass. I think you gotta
totally?
Leave him. No, not totally, but like as the main guy, and then Swayman comes in as
role reversal
is what Corposalo would have been for him.
I agree.
I think you gotta stick with that now for the foreseeable future. Swayman needs to recognize what's happening here and what just happened with the coach. And I think the rest of the team needs to understand that too. And listen, they were out there, they had a hop in their step. They did, I don't think There was a bunch of like one-timers and shots off the post and, you know, things that just happen in a hockey game. And when you're snake bit, then those things are going to get magnified. But they won the game. That's important. I need to see a little more before I get in the bandwagon of, okay, you know, this team's actually good. They needed a spark. They needed this. They needed that. But they're actually a good team. They're a playoff team. Everything Razor was saying. You know, they're actually going to be, they could compete for all these different things. I'm not going to go on that side of the street until I see them win at least 3 in a row, 4 in a row, maybe. I mean, if you want to be.
I'll take 2.
Sure. But they've won 2 in a row at other times this year. So that's not enough for me either. Like, you want to show me that you've, or show everybody, it's not just about me, but show everybody that you're changed, that you recognize the urgency of this, and that you know that this play has been unacceptable, then you got to rattle off more than a couple of wins in a row.
Absolutely. And I think you have to do it in more, honestly, convincing fashion than going 1-for-7 on the power play. Is that what they were? Like, things of that nature. You have to play all around better hockey. I will say that I listened to Sacco pregame, and he's coming into this pretty eyes wide open.
He is, yeah.
He made a comment about, because somebody was asking about like changes, and he's like, well, we really got a lot of things we need to be better, but you got to start somewhere. You're not going to be able to fix it all. And I think he was fixated on the defensive end and the middle of the ice is how he sort of boiled it down to project one for the Sacco era here in Boston was keeping everything to the outside, protecting the middle of the ice, and we'll go from there. And I think that's a realistic approach. You're not going to fix your D, fix your goalie, fix your penalty kill, fix your power play, fix everything all at once, right? I think if you try to do that, you probably end up fixing nothing, right? There's only so much practice time. There's only so much sort of energy that the team can put in. And I think that's probably a smart approach for him to sort of try to check them off one at a time, a little punch list of items that they need to get done here. But it was funny. I was with a hockey family earlier today, and a kid who plays hockey was like, that was a good win for the Bruins last night. I go, was it? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, I don't know. They got a win. And his dad kind of melded into the conversation. He's like, that wasn't a good win. They won the game. They need a win.
But shut up, son.
Basically, yeah. It wasn't like a get right, the word we always use in football. That was not a get right win. What did they get right? They got the goalie right.
Goalie played well, yeah.
And they got the score right.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, I would say. In terms of other aspects of their game are still leaving something to be desired. But this team needs wins. We talked about it with the Patriots all along, right?
Yep.
It was a big Drake May thing. Like, we just need wins. Wins make you feel good. Gerard Mayo, wins cure things.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team needs wins. And then in the midst of the wins, maybe they can start kind of checking off some of the things that they need to get better at.
Well, here's one thing you can check off. Bruins are back in the playoffs. All right.
See? Yeah, McAvoy was right. We're
right
in the playoffs.
There.
So close.
Playoff adjacent. No longer. They have leapfrogged the Sabres, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets. Well, I guess they're already ahead of the Blue Jackets, but they jumped over the Sabres and the Islanders with 21 points now for that second wild card. It's them and the Rangers, which is funny because the Rangers are good, and you not so much. Like, the Rangers are 12-5-1, and they're the first wild card. You're 9-9-3, and you're the second one. So it's going to be one of those kind of seasons, I think, where you have all the division leaders and sort of that getting into the playoffs, and then you have one good wild card team and one that's like, how the hell did these guys get in? And it might end up being the Bruins.
Like those 2021 Patriots, the sacrificial lambs for Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah, basically, yeah. The Bruins still have the second worst goal differential in the entire Eastern Conference. In the whole Eastern Conference. They're not the worst team in the Eastern Conference or anything. That's still Montreal, I would say, right now. They have the least amount of points. But when it comes to actual breakdown of like scoring and goaltending, like they're the only team that's worse is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's minus 26. The Bruins are minus 20. And that's worse than Montreal. Montreal's minus 17. So chew on that for a
minute. And it also makes sense. Like, we're talking about a good first step in the Sacco era is a 1-0 win.
Exactly.
Well, the end of the Montgomery era was like 7-2 losses and 5-2 losses. So those are the goals you got to make up.
That's true. It was a 7-2 loss to...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Alice, 3-2 to the Blues and 5-1 to Columbus. Right. And that's the way the Montgomery era ended right there. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with our Bruins conversation later on in the show. Let's go to Chris in Holyoke, who has a thought on Robert Kraft. Hi, Chris.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
So I wouldn't call myself a Bill guy, but I do blame Robert for everything that's happening. You know, if you're going to draw the line between Tom and Bill, it's to let one of them retire here, and he immediately regretted his decision on keeping Bill and made it hard for him. With that being said, I still think he's done far too much for the game to not be in, and I think it's an embarrassment for the NFL for him not to be in there.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it, Chris.
See, that's an interesting comment. It's an embarrassment for the NFL. So as much as these voters could be influenced by whoever, let's pretend it's, I don't know, Shad Khan hates Robert Kraft, and his voter is, he's influencing his voter, but he can't get in. I don't want that guy over my... It is a bad look for the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So shouldn't Roger Goodell be talking to these guys and be like, listen, I mean, I can't make you guys vote a certain way, but it's a bad look for the league that Robert Kraft, everything he's done on the field, what he did to end a lockout, everything he's done to grow the TV packages via the media committee, all of those things, this is a bad look for us, and I'd like to put my influence on you to maybe just think a little bit about, do we need to put some guy named Hay in? He's been waiting 60-something years. He can't wait another year. He's dead. Hell, his family's probably dead. I don't even know if he has any people around to come to the ceremony. Like, shouldn't the commissioner or somebody from the league be acknowledging that this is a bad look to the voters?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if that would be, like, frowned upon. Is that, like, a conflict of interest? But no, it isn't
it's
to me.
It's the NFL. Everything's a conflict of interest. There's people leaning on people for everything in
if
that
he,
league. Come
if
on.
He gets in posthumously, I will be pissed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get exactly what you mean. I mean, you think the Hay family is upset today? You think they even knew that? Did you know Grandpa could go in the Hall of Fame?
Did you know Grandpa was the founder of the NFL? He was? No, I didn't know that.
It's
going to
be a great Thanksgiving at the Hay household.
Yeah, the Hay household, they're going to be popping bottles in there for
but
sure.
There's no reason for Robert
Smoking
Kraft
stogies
to go in posthumously.
No.
And Stiz,
there's no reason he's not in already. I mean,
Stiz
really,
brought up the right name. Jerry Jones.
Yep.
Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft are comps in a lot of ways. I call them frenemies because I think they get along, but I think they've always been competing, and the old America's team versus the new America's team and the businesses and everything about it.
I thought that Van Natta piece made it seem like they're not friends.
Yeah, I don't really think they are, but yeah. I think they pretend to be. Okay.
Well, you
I
remember,
call them frenemies.
You remember the quote from that, I believe, when Kraft heard that Jones got in, he said, that guy hasn't won in 2 decades.
Right. And he's right.
He was pissed.
And he's right. I mean, his stadium, the roof's falling in. It's almost killing people.
Yeah. The team sucks.
I just look at if the Cowboys
Patriots
owner is in and he's had his issues, I don't even follow it, but that whole paternity stuff that goes on with him.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot there. Mm-hmm. He says stupid stuff all the time about glory blanks and other things and just measuring people's you-know-whats. And I mean, if that guy's in.
It's very well edited.
A weird picture floating around.
Well, I know. Wait, what picture?
Oh, the picture of him at the school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the 50s, it was like a segregated
school,
and he's in the back yelling at the
kids. So, like,
kids
he's
going
got his issues that could sway people to not vote for him. Everybody's probably gonna, right? And he's in and Robert isn't.
Yeah.
It really makes no sense. And I am not, people are gonna, you worked for them for 20 years, you're a rump swab. I just, to me, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
I'd like to find one person. I don't even care about the voters. I know they won't talk. I'd like to find a person who legitimately says, nope, he should never be in.
Yeah. There's no way. There's no way you should put him in. And listen, I rip Kraft all the time, and I think this is an outrage. Like, honestly, in terms of the Hall of Fame, not like for the world. There's more outrages in the world and more outrages even in the league probably right now, too. But in terms of the Hall of Fame, this is absurd. Like, this has become an absurdity, and you're right. It's a bad reflection on the NFL, and I think they should be looking at this like, what are we doing here? But, you know, sometimes grudges are more powerful than anything else, and I think you're just looking at a classic grudge right here, like a blood grudge, like not going to...
But over what?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Like,
I couldn't tell you.
I love grudges. And, like, for example, right now, if you say Bill Belichick has a grudge against Robert Kraft, A, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And B, I know why.
You think Bill's behind this at all?
I mean, is it an impossibility?
But how does Bill have more power than Kraft is what I don't understand.
Well,
how does he have more sway over these voters than someone like Kraft would? That doesn't make any sense.
A lot of these voters are crotchety old football guys, reporters from 30, 40, 50 years ago. Who do you think they respect more, a coach who won a lot or an owner who's rich?
Probably the coach who won a lot, but I feel like Belichick rubbed just as many people the wrong way over those 20 years as Kraft did, if not more so, right? Like, he was more prickly than Kraft ever was. Kraft went out of his way to get people to like him. Bill never did that, so I think that, in general, when you talk about schmoozing and rubbing elbows and stuff like that, Belichick's not going to win any of those guys over.
Bill can be kind of persuasive when he wants to be. If you got him, if they sat down with him and just talked football, I think 5 minutes in, they'd forget if he was mean to them at a press conference or they hated him previously or any of that. I think Bill can be persuasive. And I do believe some of those old hardcore football guys were probably pissed off by the Dynasty documentary and the way they painted Bill. Because I think they feel like they're closer to Bill. In a weird way, like they never coached, but you know what I mean? They're old school football guys.
Sure.
He came up through the 70s, the 80s, just like they did. Mm-hmm. I remember he was this assistant coach. I remember he knew Al Davis and I knew Al. Like they're in that fraternal world.
Yeah.
Robert's a rich guy, right? He's an owner. He's above them. So they're closer to Bill than they'll ever be to Robert.
Texter in the 617. Robert Kraft was 3 years old when Hay died. How about that? I mean, that puts it in perspective a little bit there, doesn't it?
Hitler was alive, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know when Hitler died, but yeah.
Late 40, 45, 46, 47.
At the end of the war, whenever that was, right. Not 1944. That's true, yeah.
Hay was alive when Hitler was alive.
How about that? 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to more of your phone calls here in just a moment. The Boston Celtics in D.C. tonight. It is a NBA Cup game against the Washington Wizards. They are 17-point favorites, and I'd even tease that up a little bit because you need to get that point differential up here if you want to advance in the Cup. We'll also talk about their visit with Joe Biden and your phone calls right after this.